Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey, it's Kim Commando today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it. PC gamers.
Yeah?
How do their rooms smell?
Like spilt Mountain Dew, Funyuns, and body odor.
Some Red Bull.
Sure.
Some pizza.
Of course. Old pizza. Day old pizza.
Yes, exactly. But I remember I used to go into Ian's room and be like, oh, dude.
Well, teenage boys, just in general, once we hit a certain marker, we go from smelling like a human to smelling like...
What was that?
Torture.
It's awful. All right. So there's a new gadget out. It's called Game Scent.
Okay.
Game Scent. You plug it into your console or your PC, and then it puffs out scents. So like if you're like playing Grand Theft Auto or Need for Speed and you're drifting, then you're going to smell like burning rubber.
So it's only like almost like 4D. Another layer of the game.
Yes. So what do you think like Roblox would smell like?
Pedophiles? No.
I don't know. Candy. What about Minecraft?
Minecraft, dirt, building material, stone.
Yes.
A construction site, possibly.
Do you see this being a big hit?
Not at all.
Me neither.
Not even close to a mild success.
I mean, could you imagine, like, you go to get, like, angel money for this, VC money.
Right.
And you're like, okay, we have this idea. It's going to be huge.
Imagine you're playing Super Mario, and your entire room starts to smell like backed up sewage.
Yes.
Jackpot.
You know, when I first sat in my Tesla, it had a particular smell.
Good or bad?
It was a musky smell. See, I told you.
No. If they're going to be snipers like that all show long, we're in for a treat.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. And on that happy note, welcome. It's called Kim Commando Today.
That's it.
And it is today. And I'm Kim Commando. And you are...
Andrew Babinski.
And we're so thrilled that you're joining us. I have some big news to talk about.
Big news?
Yeah. This is huge.
Huge.
About Hewlett-Packard. Unbelievable.
Huge Hewlett-Packard news.
Yes. You're not going to believe this. And we
I had a seatbelt so I could buckle in.
And we have like so much to talk about before I get to that. So actually, it's at the end of the podcast.
Well, that's a long distance tease right there.
It sure is. I know you're only supposed to tease like a couple of minutes into it.
Right.
But I'm just telling you right now, if anybody's listening, if you're watching, you're thinking like, oh, I'm just going to watch a couple of minutes. No.
There's no payoff. We are not going to do that.
No. You have to wait to the very end. Very end.
And then next Thursday we'll be talking about... No, I'm just kidding.
I'll be in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
I know.
Very excited for
you. You think
you
can do this pod without me?
I have already done it without you.
Oh.
Swimmingly.
Really?
I mean, we struggled and after every show we got together and talked about how much we missed you.
So I leave Phoenix tomorrow morning at 8:30 and then I land in Tokyo Sunday at 5 p.m.
In the morning.
Right.
That's a long flight.
That's a very long flight.
How much is actually in the air? Because I know there's going to be time change.
Oh, probably about 16 hours.
Whoa, that's like going to Australia long.
This is far.
Yeah, it is. And you're leaving out of San Francisco. Is it 16 hours including your trip to San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then on the way back, it's a little bit less than that.
but we leave Tokyo at 5, or no, I'm sorry, we leave Tokyo at around 9 a.m., 10 a.m. And then we
following weekend.
Yes. And then we land back into Phoenix at 3 p.m. that day.
That's a short flight.
Yes.
That'll be real quick.
And I'm like, yes, this is great.
What's the first thing on the agenda when she land?
I want to find like a really great sushi place.
You don't have it planned already?
No.
If I was going, okay, this is just my personal, it's how I travel. I am a super tourist. I don't like to go places and relax. I want a tourist. I want to see all the things, everything that everybody goes, oh, that's a tourist trap. Count me in. I am there. But I would have everything blocked out for the entire week that I was there. You're just going to throw caution to the wind?
Oh, no. I have things planned.
Okay. Not on the first day.
No. Well, the first day we get there, I'm talking about like when we land, mm-hmm. I'm going to go find a sushi place.
Gotcha. Do you think they have one?
I hope so.
All right.
And then on Monday, I'm getting like a tour of the whole city.
Okay.
And then on Tuesday, we go to the fish markets. Which I don't know if you've ever seen the videos of the fish markets in Tokyo, but that's, I mean, it's like where like they bring in like massive tuna and they bid on it.
That's going to be your souvenir. Yes. She's going to bring home an 800 pound tuna.
You know what? I eat tuna like 3 or 4 times a week.
You should probably save some money.
And then Tuesday night we have, I'm doing a tour with cars. You know, we're a car family.
You are, all three of you.
And so we have a Nissan GTR 4. And then a GTR 3. One of them was used in Tokyo Drift.
Oh, that the movie?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so we're going to do like Tokyo Drift at night.
Is the time change okay enough that maybe we could midweek next week just check in with you?
Yeah, we could do that.
Like just have you on for 5 minutes,
yeah.
Do a little video call.
And you're like, hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Saranara. Whatever.
Saranara. Thank God for Google Translate.
That was my New York accent.
That's true.
Oh, we forgot to tell people to share.
Oh, people did a great job with that yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. There was tons of shares.
Awesome.
It was very good. Not a lot of Hey Dudes. Not a lot of people tagging Hey Dudes to try to win your shoes, but that's fine.
Okay.
You have to, you know, it's kind of size specific.
Yeah,
you have to
true.
Actually have the same exact size foot as you.
Yes.
But yeah, tons of shares yesterday. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And so they need to share today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't think you were done by just doing it yesterday. Like, comment, and share on the podcast. We want to keep this going 5 days a week, 365 days a year. No, 52 weeks a year. That makes more sense. And to help us out, just comment below. Maddie's collecting the comments upstairs. We're going to read them at the end of the show. And share with someone that you know that you think will like this show. You like it, they're going to like it. It's easy.
So here are the top 5 things you need to know what's happening about tech. Right now.
Oh, this is where you're going to pay off your Hewlett-Packard tees, right here?
No, this is at the end. We got to go way to the end of the bus on that one. I was reading the Washington Post. Are you filing your taxes online this year?
I've already filed.
You have?
Yeah.
Did you get your refund?
I did.
What service did you use?
I actually did two. I do them both, and then I see which one gets the better results. And I think I ended up using, what's the big one? TurboTax.
Oh, okay. You're screwed.
Why am I screwed?
Okay. Here's what happens. Is that TurboTax probably got your consent to disclose details from your tax return for other purposes. So like, for example, all your income and your debts might be used to personalize email pitches to you from Credit Karma. Why? Because Credit Karma is owned by
TurboTax.
Yes, that's right. They also say that they will tell their other sibling companies from Intuit details like your salary, the amount of your tax refund, whether you received a tax break for your student loans, and the day that you printed your tax return.
Just to market it to me? I mean, I use a junk email anyway, so they can go ahead.
Okay, but see this screen?
Hold on, let me pull out my phone.
I want you to look at this.
Yeah. Oh, I just got an email from Credit Karma, and I am not lying.
Did you?
Just got an email from Credit Karma.
No.
Yes, 100%. I'm not going to show it on camera, but I'll show you right there. Credit Karma.
You did?
Yes. I just got it.
That's funny. Okay, so see this on the screen where it says, we just need your okay for a few things?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the screen that you looked at and you went, oh, okay, I'll just sign it.
Sure, probably.
Okay. Because when you clicked okay for just a couple of things is that you gave them your permission to use all the information on your tax return for something other than filing your taxes.
Oops.
Right?
I mean, I got a huge return. They were way better than the other company. So I guess I'm profiting from them profiting off of me?
Kind of. But next time, I want you to pay attention to the screen.
Yeah, it's just I won't, but okay.
Because up at the top it says, we just need your okay for a few things. And underneath, mm-hmm. underneath that says, we don't sell your personal data.
Well, there they go. They're not going to sell it.
It's all under their one company. Their one umbrella.
Oh, they're not selling it. They're just handing it down the hall.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you this one. On Wednesday, I want to check some prices for car insurance.
Yes.
So I found out about this company where you give them some information about your vehicle, and then they go out and find you the best rate. And according to all the reviews, it was really good. So I went and did it, and it said, we're getting ready to get your quote, and it popped up Progressive.
Okay.
I was like, okay, fine. Progressive is fine, but I would rather probably stay with my current company than Progressive. Then on Wednesday, 31 phone calls between 8 a.m.
No.
And 6 p.m.
31? OMG.
All insurance companies.
So can you give us the name of the site so we don't go there?
I don't. It's a sponsor for a company I work for.
Oh.
But 31 phone calls in one day?
You know what? That's awful.
Even if I took the first one and they were like, hey, we have this great rate for you. And I'd be like, oh, cool. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's sign up. And I signed on the dotted line. I still now have 30 phone calls to tell no to.
Okay. So I think there's a trend here with you. Okay.
I thought it would be a trusted guy. It had really good reviews.
All right. Moving on. Do you know what a homograph is?
No.
Okay. It's when somebody registers domain. Like commando.com.
Right.
And they say like K-A-M-A-N-D-O.com, not K-O-M-A-N-D-O.com. So the reason why I bring this up is that now a GoDaddy and 101 domain, they say they have something called the global block. So if you have a company and you're concerned about people like coming up with different versions of your domain, is that now you can pay so that that's not possible.
Really?
So how much do you think that costs?
Well, first of all, I know that you go out and you just buy all
everything
the possible. Yeah. What'd you say?
150
homogram graphs or whatever. Yeah. You buy all the variations yourself. That doesn't cost. That's not cheap.
No, it's like $10 a domain.
Right. But if you buy 100, there's, you know, $1,000 bucks.
Right.
I'm going to say $200 a month.
A year, it's going to be anywhere between $6,000 and $9,000 a year.
So that's a $600 a month-ish. That's high.
A little bit more than that, but that's okay. Are your kids allowed to bring phones into the classrooms?
No. They can have their phone on their person, but it has to be either shut off or put away.
Okay, well, they say that all these teachers are just fed up.
Sure,
with kids
I can imagine.
Watching Netflix. One teacher was reported that the kids are gambling.
I can imagine. Well, there was that one school that took all the mirrors out of the bathrooms.
Oh, because of selfies.
Yeah, and right. Because of TikTok videos.
Yes, that's true. Utah and Florida are now banning cell phone use inside the classrooms. And guess what they found out?
What did they find out?
That when the phones aren't in the classroom,
the grades go up?
Yes.
What? Now, you know there's going to be parents that push back and say, I have to be able to get hold of little Billy if there's an emergency, so he has to have his phone.
Right.
Well, little Billy can go outside between classes and check and see if there's an emergency.
Right.
Because it's obviously needed.
Okay. Would you want to be a teacher today?
No.
I wouldn't want to be one either.
Now, I mean, I see both sides of it. You know, I hear the great stories of teachers who find it so fulfilling, but then you go online and you just see the horror stories of what happens to these teachers at schools.
No.
And they can't do anything. They can't do anything to control, especially high school. I would do kindergarten, first grade.
That's when they're so cute.
Exactly.
They're so nice.
When they can't, you know, shank me. I would go through the unshankable grades.
All right. This was really bothersome to me.
Okay.
And because, I mean, it's like, who can you really trust?
No, and I guess, obviously, 31 phone calls later.
CNET, the tech site, they were just rated.
Rated?
Generally reliable to generally unreliable.
So rated?
Yes.
I thought it was like an FBI raid. Okay, they were rated.
Rated.
So their reviews rated. Aren't
rated. You always make fun of me.
I don't make fun of you. I'm trying to comprehend the story here.
You always make fun of me. I mean, and you know, people feel sorry for you. People should feel sorry for me.
I want to hear the playback of your sentence. No. CNET was raided.
No, rated. Rated.
Okay. So it's an unreliable source.
R-A-T-E-D.
Not what you said. I thought the FBI was in there and they were hiding bodies under the used computers.
I was going to say, behind the computers and the desk.
A pile of iPhones that they tested.
The reason why is because they're using AI. And they have, Wikipedia has found that anything from outright errors to blatant plagiarism.
AI to write the reviews?
Yeah, I guess they're using AI all over the site.
Everybody is, though. I mean, everyone's using AI.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're writing a review, it should be somebody's opinion.
Right, and that's your only job.
Right.
It's not like, you know, you make sandwiches and then you're also going to do like a blog on the side. That's all they do.
Right.
Probably they're doing that so they can have less bodies.
Of course.
Cut costs.
Yeah, I mean, Vice folded, Messenger, BuzzFeed. I mean,
CNET got raided by the FBI. It's just going to be really bad.
Have I told you lately I just hate you?
Yeah, right before the stream started.
Did
yeah.
I
appreciate it, though, for the reminder.
That's okay, because you told me my jokes suck.
It didn't. Just my absence of laughter tells you that your jokes suck.
All right, so scientists have created a disk that can hold a petabyte of data.
Is that 1,000 terabytes?
How many movies do you think you can get on a petabyte?
Is that 1,000 terabytes?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, fine. How many movies?
Yes.
I'm going to go with 2,409.
You wanted to guess again?
I don't know if I'm low or high.
Really low.
Really low?
Yeah.
110,000.
You're still really low.
Holy buckets. 215,000.
All right. I'm just going to go for
a million.
Thank you.
A million movies?
Yes. It's a disc that can hold 1 million movies.
How long are the movies? Because I just watched Oppenheimer and that thing was long.
Oh my gosh. Oppenheimer. That was a long movie.
It was good though. I enjoyed it.
I didn't understand people that go see Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Yeah. Well, they came out the same weekend.
I know, but...
Did you see either?
I have seen both, yes.
You saw both?
Yes.
What did you think of Barbie?
I really liked Barbie.
Yeah, because you're an adult. Because I took two children. My daughter's first comment was, why was Barbie crying so much?
Oh,
not a kid's
really?
Movie, that Barbie movie.
Really? Because I had all of Barry's like 8,000 grandchildren over.
Oh, and they all loved it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was way too serious for a Barbie movie. It was a bigger message than a six-year-old can really understand.
What do you think the message was?
What the message of Barbie was?
Yes.
Is that it's a male-dominated world, and that Barbie lived in a world where she was dominant, and she was learning her place in the real world, and it wasn't what she liked, and it made her sad. And a woman that was happy all the time became sad. What do you think it was about? You didn't see it, did you?
No, I did see it. God. Sometimes I just don't know what to think of you. Sometimes I sit here and I think, like, why do I do this every day with this person?
I'm really surprised you actually saw two movies, though.
I know. I normally don't see very many.
No.
Oh.
I loved Oppenheimer, though. I thought it was really good. No. Hard to follow, but it was good.
Okay. And finally, this coming in from Spotify. They're rolling out something called, have you seen this? The song Psychic?
Mm-mm. Okay. From Spotify?
Yes.
They're going to try to predict what kind of song I want?
No. You go there and you ask it questions, and there are fields for you to just tap or click or whatever on.
Right.
And like you say, like, does my crush like me back? Will I get a raise? Should I go to prom? Am I the drama? Okay. And then Spotify will go in and find answers for you. But the answers will be a song that has the answer in it.
Cute, but useless. That's my
yes.
review. I got that from CNET, so I hope it's okay.
They stole it from me. I'm just saying.
But this is nothing I would use. This is definitely something for 20-somethings
yeah.
and teenagers to use.
I didn't really understand it.
No. Good thing you put it in the top 5 things to know.
Well, because I thought maybe somebody might want to maybe show this to their kids And see, when you show this to your kids, then all of a sudden you are hip and groovy.
Or they can explain to you what's going on.
Yes. <it's> like, here, honey, tell mommy and daddy what's going on with this. What is this? What is this? All right. What do you call a fat psychic?
What do you call a fat psychic?
Come on. What do you call a fat psychic?
I have no idea. Chub?
A fortune teller.
Fortune. Very good. I like that.
Okay, that was cute.
That was very cute. I might use that one.
Okay. All right, coming right back. We have a great interview we're going to be talking about. It's two guys. Have you seen the interview?
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the interview.
Well, we haven't done the interview.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a psychic thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw the interview. We did a great job. Man, were we great.
You know, I got an email from somebody this morning. I forget his name. His name was like Harry or something like that. And he said that that he likes watching the podcast because we crack each other up.
We find each other hilarious.
Yes. We don't know if anybody else does.
It's just we're sitting here having fun. I mean, even if we weren't streaming, we could still sit here and just giggle and have fun.
Yeah, and we could. And we could talk about like sports.
Oh, what a break.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. We're so glad that you're here with us because after all, otherwise Andrew and I would just be talking to each other and that would be kind of fun.
For a little bit. You'd give me a 10 minutes instead of the entire length.
Not even.
Maybe two texts.
Be like, yes.
But you have your opportunity to talk to Kim. Whether you're watching on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, just drop us a comment, question, say hi to Kim, say hi to me, tell us a joke. We're watching all the comments through the entire show, and Maddie's collecting them upstairs. If her printer's working, she'll bring them down, and we'll read them in the final segment.
That was so funny the other day.
So great.
Our printer didn't have any toner, and it's like we have to wait for her, and then she comes running in.
And then one of the
I still have the paper right here.
One of the comments was, Kim Komando's having printer issues. Do you know what I saw? Oh, never mind. I don't want to distract from the interview. I saw something on Instagram yesterday. It blew my mind.
What?
It was your video instructional series from when you were, what, 23 years old?
Oh, computer tutor?
Yes.
Yes.
Someone posted it and said, my kid's trying to explain the internet to me. And it was just clipped highlights of your computer tutor.
Share that with me.
I saw it and I totally forgot to share it. I'll refine it.
Okay. So everybody doesn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So
shouldn't have distracted.
Okay. We're sure. We'll be right there at the interview.
Yes.
But in the early 90s, I started my whole venture into being in the media. And I had a little show on KFYI. And it was like an hour. And I think I was on like at 11 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Great time slot.
Was. Like, what could she possibly do wrong? Okay. And then I did an infomercial called Computer Tutor.
You were so young. How old were you?
I was 24 or 5.
Yeah, okay. That's what I guessed. I guess you were 23.
Yeah.
And you were so young, but you were so confident and you were not nervous and you were teaching people how to use Windows 3.1.
Yes, exactly. And this is America Online.
And then you kept saying, and I think that's why they pulled the clips.
It's so easy.
And nothing blew up.
Oh, yes. You know what? Because a lot of people thought then things would blow up.
Right.
It was like, and nothing blew up.
Just click there and nothing blows up.
Just, you know what I should do? We should take this clip and we should try, you know, put it next to
the other. Compare and contrast.
Yeah. Just click there and look, nothing blew up.
We'll do that.
Yeah, but to the computer tutor, just real quick, is that I was either going to make it on my own as an entrepreneur or I would have to go get a job. And I had a job at Houlihan's on the Monday, or I had to go work for Wang Computer in Tampa, Florida.
The restaurant Houlihan's?
Yes.
You weren't even going to do tech?
No.
One of your options was being...
No, my tech was, I was going to move to Tampa and be a district manager.
Oh, okay.
Because I was flat broke. I was out of money. I had $50 in my bank account. I mean, it was...
But at least you had a job. You had prospects.
Yes. And so I went and I had $50 before I went and bought a bottle of Dom Perignon because I figured if I'm going down, I'm going to go down in style.
Why not?
So I sat there on Saturday night when this infomercial went out. And I thought, and I was praying and I had the holy water out and the rosaries and everything going for me. And I called the infomercial company at like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And I said, so what do you think? What do you think? And the guy told me, well, you know, it's not a home run. It's a solid double though.
Oh, that's good.
And I was like,
do you remember how much you made?
Off of that night?
Yeah.
Probably like $1,000. About $1,000 that night.
Okay.
You know,
but do you multiply that by 7? times 52. It's just something to build
well,
on.
Well, it was, we sold 120,000 tapes.
Wow.
And the average price was about $89.
And what percentage did you get?
You're so nosy.
Well, here's the thing. As I know, if I ask the question, you'll end up answering it.
I was 50-50 partners.
Okay. That's what I figured.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Then I had to sue him later, but that's a whole nother story.
Tomorrow. We'll talk about it next week.
You know, there's a thing in the infomercial industry is that if you're not indicted, you're not invited. Okay. So
I won't ask if you won the lawsuit.
I did.
Yes, I knew she'd answer it.
All right. So it's winter, snowing outside. If you get stuck in your car, what are you supposed to do?
Call 911.
Okay. Well, before you do that.
Yeah.
You want to
try to get out.
Crack open a window.
Why do I want to crack open a window? It's cold outside.
Get some little fresh air in there.
All right.
Try to get the snow and ice from around your car. Okay. If you have a drone, you attach a note to it and then you fly the drone.
That wasn't going to be on my list of things to do.
Okay. Well, this is a crazy story from Fairview, Utah. Drone photographer, great guy by the name of Brian Telford. He got stuck in the snow and then that's what he did.
Couldn't get out of the snow. So he attached a note to a drone and started flying it around until someone noticed.
That's right. So Brian is here, and also Trenton Taylor, because he's the other side of the story. So,
Hello. So
Brian, tell me what happened. Yes. Tell us what happened.
Well, I do drone photography mostly for real estate agents, and do landscape photography with the drones. And I was up in the Fairview area trying to get to a property, and was having some trouble because it's in an area that nobody lives up there year round, so it doesn't get plowed all the way up. One important detail to add here is I should note that I am wheelchair bound.
Okay.
I am driving a truck, but that's part of the reason I was in a little bit of more trouble than usual is because once I got stuck, there's no getting out and hiking out. So
yeah,
that's part of the problem.
And so you get stuck in the snow. How long were you stuck before you thought, okay, I got to figure something out?
I was stuck for about an hour. I got the truck to move. I had little successes in trying to move it. I moved 10 feet. And so I'm like, oh, I'll keep trying it, move another 10 feet and another 20 minutes. And, but after about an hour, I said, all right, this is pointless. I got to find another way out of this.
Now, to make it clear, you did not have cell phone reception?
No, not at that point. There was, the cell phone company I'm with didn't give me any kind of a signal up there at all at that point.
Even for like an emergency call for a 911 or.
They do have, the phone has basically, you can use like a satellite text mm-hmm. message. Yes. And, that was shown available to me, but, where I was, it was about 2 hours from where I live, where any of my family and friends live. And I was not too excited about, paying somebody to come get me or tracking down family and friends that wanted to drive a couple hours to come pull me out of the snow.
That's a nice thing to think about. I mean, you're stuck in the snow. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about yourself.
You don't want to trouble anyone else.
You know, Brian, if I was in your family, I would want you to call me and come get you.
Kim would have come.
I would have come.
It would take a couple of days, but Kim would have come.
And I've got great family and friends that would be more than happy to make the trip. But I guess it's kind of a thing with me being in a wheelchair or something. I don't know. But I have a hard time sometimes asking for help.
Well, you're also a guy.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
That's one of the things we are notoriously known for is we don't ask for help.
That's true.
Sometimes to our detriment.
You too. It's like,
that's true.
You just sit there and you're like, oh, I get it. I'm getting it done. Mm-hmm. I'm getting it done. Yeah. It'll happen.
With confidence too.
Yes.
That and anytime I'm in a situation like that, I'm kind of the one other thought in the back of my mind is, ah, crap. I'm going to have to admit to my wife that I, tried to do something I probably shouldn't have done and going to get in trouble.
Rather die in the snow than admit you're wrong to your wife. Okay. That is a married man right there.
All right. So yeah,
guilty.
So then you look down, you see the drone and you put a note. Now on the note, you just said help, right?
That's what it said on the outside of it. I folded it up. I figured, there's only so much space that I could have written on to put on the drone. So I wrote help on the outside of it. But once you take it off and then taped it to the drone, and once you open up the note, it gave a little bit of an explanation. I did forget to include the information of where I was stuck. That would have been helpful.
But,
a little detail right there, Brian.
Yeah, just a minor detail. But I just wrote basically, hey, I'm stuck in my truck and I'm wheelchair bound. I can't get out and go look for help. Could you please come give me a hand and pull me out?
Okay, so then you attach the note, drone goes off, and then obviously you see where the drone's going. You find a house?
Yeah, I remembered that was what kind of prompted the idea of putting the drone up, as I remembered I had passed a house not too far down the road from where I was that had lights on, and saw that there was vehicles in the driveway. So I thought, well, I'll just fly my drone down there, and it's dark now, and they'll see the flashing lights. And I had it in my mind that, you know, it would be a nice, calm event that I would just get their attention. I'd land my drone on their porch. They'd come out and see the note. And that's not exactly how it went, but it still was effective.
Yeah, you're here today.
So it must have worked.
So now the other side of the story.
Trenton, you look out your window. Is that right? And you see a drone?
Right. Yeah. So I was sitting in the kitchen window and I was just finishing up eating dinner. And we had our window open right here. I don't know if you can see it too well, but just finishing up eating dinner, and I saw a couple lights kind of hovering right in front of our window, just looking at us. But at first, I didn't know what it was. It just looked like a couple lights. We have a mountain in the distance behind us, and I thought maybe it was some lights that were up in the mountains because we have a pretty good view of the lookout. And now after a couple of minutes, I noticed it was a drone kind of just hovering right in front of our window.
And then you see the note?
No. This is my favorite part of the story.
Yeah, no, we didn't see the note until after we took it down with the scooter. So,
oh,
tried to break the drone with the scooter.
Oh. Yeah, so once I realized it was a drone and not a UFO flying around, I looked at my father and I said, hey, Dad, I think there's a drone out our window right now. And he was like, not in my house, and ran over and grabbed my little niece's Razor scooter and just threw that sucker right at it in the air and took it down, unfortunately.
And they celebrated. They celebrated the fact that they took out the drone, not knowing that there was a human life at stake.
We acted like a couple of rednecks, that's for sure.
You know what? I wish I had a video of that. That would have been so funny.
Went drone hunting.
Right? I wish after the fact, I was like, man, I wish I had been recording that, because I was looking right at it, and I did not anticipate somebody coming out and throwing a scooter at the drone. That was kind of the last thing I would have thought of, but it would have been hilarious to have recorded that. But I didn't have the drone recording. I kind of felt like I was being a little bit invasive of privacy as it was, let alone if I had been recording. That would have just been to a different level of creepy. So
all right, so the drone gets hit with a scooter. It falls to the ground. You guys obviously celebrate. And then when did you notice the note?
It was dark outside around the time that it happened. So we saw the drone in the snow with the lights, and we grabbed it, and we started walking around the house. And we didn't see the note until we got up to our porch light. But if my dad was here, he would say, you hear those stories about drones kind of like peeping on people through their homes. Sure. And that's kind of like the first thing that comes to your mind is like somebody's watching you. So taking it down seemed like a great idea at the time.
So then once you see the note, then you're like, okay, we got to spring into action.
Yeah. So when we saw the note, it just said, I think it said, please help, with exclamation points at the end. And, you know, we went from thinking it's a peeping Tom to somebody probably stuck in someone's basement or something. We had no idea. Our imagination was just flying. Yeah, once we saw it in the snow, we took it out. We took it off the drone and realized that, you know, when we flipped it around, he explained that he was stuck on a road in the snow, wheelchair bound, and needed help. So
how did the drone get from your house after being whacked to the scene of where he was trapped?
There's a couple of different directions to get out from where we live. And it just so happened the direction that we went, we were kind of looking around and saw his taillights up in the distance.
Okay.
Nice. On a road that nobody really goes. So we just assumed that that had to have been it.
But was the drone out of commission? Like he could not fly?
I thought it was.
Okay.
We thought for sure it was, but Brian says otherwise. So.
Yeah, I was really happy to find that the only thing that had been broken was one of the propeller blades, and they get broken frequently, and I have extras. So I replaced the broken one and made sure everything was dried off on the drone and stuck a new battery in it and put it back up in the air just for a few seconds to make sure that it worked. Everything was fine with it. Still using it.
Well, that's awesome.
Crazy.
Now, doesn't this story even have a happier ending? Not only did you guys help him out, but haven't you guys established and created a relationship? A friendship?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah, we pulled him out. It didn't take too long once we got up there. We couldn't get up there with our own truck, so we had to get the side-by-side to pull him out. But we got each other's info. We've been talking since. Brian's been talking with my father a lot, and they've become pretty good friends.
That's good. I like what you... Wait, Trenton, I like what your dad said. Not in my yard. Yeah. So I guess the moral of the story, Brian, is that... What are you going to do next time you're stuck in the snow?
Well, hopefully there isn't a next time I'm stuck in the snow.
Oh, it's not going to happen again. I'm fine.
Yeah, well, I'm going to reconsider next time I think, maybe I'll give this snow-packed road a try. I think I'll reconsider that option. But I think... It's something, hey, if I ever had to do it again, I would do it again. I would, I know to make a more detailed note about where I'm stuck.
Yes.
How to find me that way. But it's something I had thought of. My kids worry about me when I'm out doing the work that I do, because I'm frequently out in areas that I don't have cell coverage, and it's kind of a market that I really love to do my work in. So they're frequently worried about me getting stuck and having something go wrong. And I had just thought of that option a couple of years ago with one of my girls. I told her, I was like, hey, you know, if I ever got stuck and I couldn't use my phone, I could always put a note on my drone and fly it. And we had a laugh about it. And I never thought that I never thought that I'd actually have to put that to use, but hey, it worked.
I think we need to put a tile tracker on you or an air tag or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to ask for help, so we're just going to track him down.
That's it.
That's another thing that's changed immediately after this occurrence. My wife had me turn on the locate my phone.
Yes.
So that she can see where I am. So
yes. Thank you for that.
So much.
Well, you know, thanks, guys, for being here telling your story.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I didn't know about the scooter.
Oh, it's my favorite part of the story.
That is great.
I have a business idea. Roadside emergency kit. It's got some flares, tire repair, and then a drone with a big old sign that says help.
But then it says, like, you are located.
Yeah, and
here.
It's just like a whiteboard, yes. And you can just write in where you're at.
Yes.
You're going to make millions.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. Just a quick reminder that as you're watching us live everywhere, you can stream. I mean, it seems like we're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Rumble. Where else did I miss?
I think that's it. I think those are the major ones. Those are the ones we talk about every single
week.
Well,
I think, you know, Twitch, I think we're up to 5 viewers.
5?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's almost a community.
Small community.
Hey, it's a community.
But it's a community. Like, here's the church, here's steeple, open doors, there's other people.
Yeah, there's more people in that steeple than there are actually watching on Twitch.
Oh, well, you know what? Someday we're going to have like 10 people on Twitch.
We've got to have goals. Got to have goals, Kim.
You do. Because you know what? If you don't have goals, you know what you have? A dream.
Oh, okay. Dreams are good too, though.
It was like a little cerebral for you.
That was deep.
Yes, it was.
I'll study it and come back to you next week. But no matter where you're watching, just comment, like, and share the podcast. It helps us out, and we really appreciate it.
All right. So what's this?
How do you fall asleep?
How do I fall asleep?
Yeah. What's your normal evening routine?
Gallon of wine. No, okay. I'm kidding. No. I go in, brush my teeth, wash my face, and I take, one magnesium.
Okay.
And I get a bottle of water and I go into bed.
A white noise machine? Do you use a fan? Do you have any sort of an eye mask, anything? Or do you just put your head on the pillow and you're asleep?
Sometimes I just put my head on the pillow. I'm so tired. Cause I mean, I just, you know me, I'm like all day.
Well, you're
nonstop.
Lucky, cause a lot of people have to have these certain things. And a woman, she went on TikTok to show everyone that she walked in and her husband had his phone on and he was playing a YouTube video.
Okay.
And this is what he was falling asleep to.
Is this like, are they gunshots?
World War II battle sounds.
Is this supposed to be relaxing?
Some people like to fall asleep to the sounds of the jungle or the waves in the ocean or men hundreds of years ago killing each other. She asked TikTok if she needed to be worried. And actually a doctor, he responded to her video saying, it's just the repetitive nature of the sounds. It's very dull and muffled. It really makes a lot of sense that someone would use this to fall asleep. And he's not alone. This video has millions of views. It's a 10-hour loop of just World War II battle sounds, and people are falling asleep to it. The ambient sound of war to fall asleep.
No, I don't think I could fall asleep to that.
No, you think, why? Think it's too rough?
Yes.
Could you fall asleep to like jungle sounds or the ocean waves?
No, I really need silence.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, so Abby sleeps, if not at the foot of the bed, inside the bed, mm-hmm. or on the floor near the bed.
Right.
If you notice where that is all going. Okay. And she's 90 pounds. I mean, this is a big dog.
Right.
Okay. So what she'll do is like, it's actually kind of funny, is like she'll like position herself.
She'll do the classic dog spin,
yes.
spin, sit.
And okay. And then she lays down. And then she does.
Just one. Does that wake you up if you're sleeping?
Pretty much.
Okay. So you're a light sleeper who needs silence.
And then she has this annoying habit, like some allergy that she has where she's like gnawing at her paws mm-hmm. and stuff. And so I'll say, Abby, stop.
Well, that's good. Yeah. She's in pain. She needs to be yelled at.
Yeah. So I say, Abby, stop. And then every time I say, Abby, stop, she stops and then she goes.
And then starts right back at it.
Yes.
Of course.
And then Barry's like, I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
I think you should try it. I think tonight, get into bed, you and Barry, turn on the war sounds and see if it puts him to sleep.
I'll say, you know what, honey? I have like a perfect night of romance.
Exactly. You're going to play some Barry White? No.
Nope.
Something better.
Fix the lights. I'll be right there. All right, so now if you're watching the show, you can get the audio-only version if you'd like.
Yeah, if you miss one of the streams, we stream every single day, Monday through Friday, 10:30 on the West Coast, 1:30 on the East Coast. But if you miss a stream and you still want to listen to the show, just take it with you. Go to wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever.
Apple Podcast app, Stitcher Podcast app, wherever. There's a billion of them. Just download Kim Komando today and take us with you.
Because you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Okay, here's some of our comments. Gary Sumner says, a good reason to always carry my drone in my car with me.
It really is. It's like a practical reason.
A heart-to-heart for me. Elon's new satellite phone is coming. Yes, in August.
Okay.
Yes.
And that would eliminate the need of a drone because you'd always have a signal.
Yeah, but you know what? He had the SOS button. He should have just hit the SOS button on his phone.
That's what I asked, too.
Yeah, but he didn't want to bother his family.
It's weird.
Dan Russell says, from the Ghostbusters Afterlife, why can't you trust an atom?
Why can't you trust an atom?
Because they make up everything.
Ha ha. Kim write that for you?
So mean. So mean. Lou Mello says, I love your jokes, Kim. Oh, no, he didn't. He said, such a great story. Glad it ended so well.
It did.
Lisa C says, paying a lot of overhead in school districts. We're talking about whether or not cell phones should be. Mm-hmm. The money from our taxes are not well spent, and our teachers take a lot of abuse.
They
from
do.
Administration, parents, and the kids. Yes.
Maybe more from the parents than they really do the kids.
Oh. Arturo Torres.
He's back.
Yes.
I love Arturo Torres.
Arturo Torres. You know, we don't care what you write. We just want to say your name.
Yes, exactly. Just put a bunch of curse words. We'll still read it because we love saying your name.
Here, I want you to read Arturo Torres.
All right.
And read it like it was, should be like for somebody from Arturo Torres.
All right. If it's the winter and you're stuck in the car, crack open a bottle of whiskey. Shouldn't it be tequila?
Yeah. Arturo Torres. Well, since you have it, any other good comments on that one?
Let's see. This is from Lisa C. You really need a satellite phone. Husband has one when he goes hunting way out in the no cell territory. Yeah, I mean, if that's something you're commonly doing, it
you
would
do.
Make sense. Well, I'm a city boy. I'm not leaving. Break Time 101 says, I would have to use the satellite communication to get me help out of there. Of course, I wouldn't have a reason. I'd just be stuck.
You'd be sitting there.
But again, he was, you know, yes. Someone who was able-bodied would be able to get out and go hiking, but he couldn't get his wheelchair out of his stuck. I mean, it was the just worst case scenario that he used the ingenuity to save himself.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And then finally from Glenn Zoring. One thing I love about the show is finally, in all capital letters, finally, someone has the same sense of humor as I do. Rock on.
Is he talking about you?
I think he is. What did the printer say when it ran out of paper?
Please don't tell me that a half hour ago, you teased an HP big news and it's just one of your jokes.
No. Okay, here's the big news.
All right, I'm sorry.
HP launched a subscription called the HP All-in-One Plan.
Okay.
So no longer do you just buy a printer. Okay, you're going to subscribe to a printer. You're going to subscribe to a printer. For $7 a month, you get an HP Envy printer, and you can print 20 pages.
You're lying.
20
pages?
I'm not lying. It's right here. Okay, or you can spend $36 a month for an HP OfficeJet Pro, and that's when you get to print 700 pages.
So what happened? First of all, a printer costs like $30.
Yes.
What happens if I don't pay my printer bill? Do they come and repossess it?
They'll probably just turn it off because it's also connected to the internet.
Are you kidding me?
And so they say that this way that you're going to get the firmware updates from Hewlett Packard. So it has to be connected to the internet.
You already get
all
them.
The time.
This
all
is
the time.
Insane. A
yes.
Subscription fee for your printer?
And then they'll send you the ink automatically. But guess what?
That's not included in the $700 price.
Some of it is.
Some of the ink?
Yes. It depends upon the plan.
Oh, sure. Right. But the $7 one where you get 20 prints.
20 pages a month?
That's like one Wikipedia page.
I mean, like, you know, I don't really print that much anymore.
No, that's true.
And you can roll over unused pages to the next month.
Is this the 90s? My rollover minutes?
Yes. You can't use their ink cartridges in any other printer that's not part of the subscription service, even if it's
not.
Another HP.
Of course. Well, you shouldn't be able to do that. Why would you think you'd be able to do that?
The privacy policy says that HP might share your info with advertising partners and targeted ads, could mix your data with other companies. You can opt out, though.
Why would they use the word might? So not only do I get to pay them to print 20 pages a month, I'm also giving them my information they're going to sell.
Yes, and I'm sure, I was trying to find it. If that data includes whatever you've printed.
Because, that's a good point.
Yeah, because they're going to get a copy of everything that you printed.
What if you print your birth certificate? This there, is ridiculous. God. This is, can't be. Remember we used to do that game, Brand New or Not True?
Yes.
I definitely would put this in the not true category.
What if you go over your page limit? It's
A sniper takes you out while you're walking from your car to work?
$9 for an extra 50 pages. Plus $1 for an additional 10 pages.
Jerks. Just jerks. Oh, man. And you still have to buy the ink.
I still can't believe $7 a month for 20 pages.
This is laughable.
Okay. Wait, don't you know people around HP, the big marketing gurus, senior vice presidents?
Oh, yeah.
We got an idea.
This is a big boardroom meeting.
This is a big thing.
And someone's like, what about 15 pages for $7? No, that's not enough.
What if they go over? Okay. Then we have to charge him.
Late fees. Can't forget about late fees. Stop mid-print. Prints half the page.
Does that count?
Your bill.
Does that count?
If your power goes out. Oh, I only have a half a page left.
But is that a full page?
This is a joke.
Yes. You thought I was making this up.
I really did.
No.
So I'm trying to think, what's the sale? What's the benefit to the consumer? I can't think of one thing that's a benefit. You don't have to buy a printer.
Okay. But the ink is included in some of them. But if you're only printing 20 pages a month, you're not blowing through a lot of ink.
But anyway. I don't have to purchase the printer ahead of time. I'm just signing up for the service and they send me out a free printer.
Yes.
That's going to cost me $84 a year to print 20 pages a month.
Yes.
What a joke.
Ridiculous. So what did the printer say when it ran out of paper?
I don't know, Kim. What did the printer say?
It's a good one. Oh, sheet.
It's good. I like it.
Okay. See, I told you.
I like it. They were good today.
See?
Very good job.
Now, I expect you next week while I'm in Japan.
Yes.
To keep going and to carry the flag. Carry the commando flag with pride.
I'm definitely going to do the show, but I'm not doing the jokes.
No.
I have pride.
So mean to me.
The musky one was good. The car smelling musky, that was good.
You didn't expect that.
No, and that's when your best ones. Your best ones are when they just come out of nowhere and the delivery is always perfect.
And not when I say like, okay, I have a good joke.
Right before the punchline of your last joke, you said, this is a good one. I don't know if you heard yourself.
Oh, gosh, I need a vacation. All right. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us. I'm not going to be here next week, and I hope the show doesn't suck too badly.
It won't. It'll suck, but not too badly.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.